jumping into something that might not be proper is really understanding your business.
Welcome to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there's some element to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding inefficiencies, strengthening internal processes, or unlocking growth, that can extend the firm beyond its current limitations.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Steele, and today we have another fun episode. I'm on a roll this year, guys, just so you know, with fun episodes. Started New Year's Eve. We did a fun one with Christy and Matt. And then just recently, this is so exciting, we released our top 10 podcasts. So today with us, I have three very distinguished gentlemen. They are our project managers that work with us at MassMEP, and they hit all areas of the state. So I've got Southeast, Northeast, and the West covered with us. So I would like to welcome Mike Hebert, Ron Giard, and Manny Jerome. So welcome, everyone.
Hello.
So Manny and Ron, this is your first time on the podcast with us. Mike was on our New Year's Eve podcast with us, and we caught him completely off guard.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm. We invited him in, but he did a great job, and he filled in and came on in and just talked. And he did, he was a little upset he didn't get his hair and makeup done before he popped in with us, but that was about it. But he did do a really good job with the questions we asked. So thank you guys for joining us today. As we've talked about, you really are the industry experts. And for our audience, we kind of want to tell them what you've been doing, where, you know, what's been going on, what have we been doing for the past 10 months now that we've been doing this. And maybe we'll hit some hot topics about where we're going in the future, some of the hot topics we're going to hit, things along the lines of Industry 4.0. We have the MMC and cybersecurity, and we have a pandemic exit plan. So let's kind of, I guess, just jump in and tell everybody kind of where you've, what you've been doing and what you've been up to. Mike, you want to kind of tell everybody what's been going on with you over the past couple, well, 10 months?
Sure. Well, hello, everyone. I'm Mike Hebert. I'm the Western Mass Region Manager. Obviously, times have changed. I mean, the pandemic has set everybody, manufacturers, ourselves, into a little bit of a tailspin, and we've all had to adjust and conform. We have done several things. We are still working with clients. For those of us that are comfortable allowing us in, we are more than happy to serve you and assist you. We are still working with companies, even on the virtual scale. We've developed a lot of virtual training to fill in those gaps for companies that can't let us in for obvious reasons. And, you know, for those companies that have reduced workforces with a lot of people working from home, they can join us from their home, from their kitchens or bedrooms or offices or wherever they're working from at that day. It's worked out well. We've done a whole lot, and we continue to. And as I tell people, I in the Western area and with all areas, I mean, we're not selling training. We're not just training people. We're facilitating solutions. We're helping you solve your problems, solve your issues, and we're providing success. I mean, and that's our goal. That's what we work toward. That's what we're after.
That's I love that, Mike. I just wrote down facilitating solutions. That's a pretty awesome. Do you have any like stories of anything maybe that you can hit on that you've done in the past 10 months that you feel have really made a good impact and are kind of a silver lining as to what we've experienced?
We have a company that's in Holyoke. I don't know if I can name names, so I'll reserve. We have a company that's in Holyoke that during the pandemic, they were mainly supplying the airlines industry. Airline industry obviously has been flat. Nobody's buying planes. And they had to really pivoted for what they needed to resolve. They got into providing a solution for PPE which is a face shield and a mask combination. It's actually got the cloth around the sides that form. So it's one product providing both solutions on it. We worked with them. We helped them get it to market. We've helped them find companies that are in need for this and put that together. And that was it, that was something that MassMEP did a lot with, was working with the MERT, the Massachusetts Emergency Response Team, solving problems, getting companies, clients, hospitals, first responders, everybody together with those things that they needed and the companies that could provide them. And that was one company that we worked with to help them get through it.
That's awesome. So everybody know I'm competitive, and we were playing a little bit of a competition earlier about our surveys and stuff. So obviously I'm going to say, hey, Ron, what's going on up in the Northeast?
Right. Good afternoon. I'm Ron Giat. I'm the regional manager up in the Northeast. And a kind of a continuation with what Mike was saying, what we're all working on, have been over the past 10 months. Obviously, we've all been affected by COVID. So a big part early on was working directly with the state, the MERT, the Massachusetts Emergency Response Team. And we became the liaison between the state and a lot of the manufacturers that had pivoted to making PPE in support of COVID. So that was it was a big part of what we were doing for a period of time. And it also opened up some opportunity for us to educate a lot of these companies that might not have heard of the MassMEP and what we do. So it's been, in one sense, very positive for us to be able to engage with additional companies through the MERT. So it's a tough time, and we know it has been for a lot of companies, but I'd say a silver lining for us, the MassMEP, has been just that, is we've been able to help them first and foremost with communication between the state and the questions they might have had. And then secondly, and hopefully as things settle down, we'll be able to get back in and assist them in a lot of ways. And as Mike said, an additional thing was, a big thing was virtual. You know, we just couldn't sit still and say, we got to wait for the companies to open up. We were able to identify a lot of trainings that we could transition to virtual training that made sense. And so that kept us working directly with the companies that we currently have grants with, which has been very helpful. The other part was just, again, educating companies about what MassMEP does. A couple of companies in my area, for instance, pivoted to making masks, PPE. They needed a lot of assistance on navigating some of the requirements around that, but also the funding that was available. And luckily they were on the list and they did get some funding for capital expenditure as well as training. And once again, that'll hopefully continue on with a good relationship between that company as well as the MassMEP.
Yeah. Ron, did you have a company, kind of like Mike was saying earlier, somebody that, you know, ended up being a silver lining in all of this?
Yeah. So I, a couple of different companies through this is one specifically that was a medical device manufacturer or a consumable manufacturer for the medical device industry. They early on realized they had some capabilities in-house. And so they decided to pivot to make the face masks. I did refer to them. And but again, they didn't have everything they needed. So we were able to at least assist. They did a lot of the work. What we were, again, was the liaison to provide them additional information that they might not have had. Mm-hmm. And then in addition, you know, navigating the emergency use authorization and all of that, understanding what that all meant, you know, we've become more knowledgeable about that ourselves. And we were able to pass some of that information on as needed. You know, there was another company that their business, they didn't need to pivot, mm-hmm. but their business was positively affected, unfortunately, by coronavirus because they provided a lot of the markets for home improvement. So as people were home, they decided, geez, I got time on my hand. They started working around their house and doing improvements. So their business took off and to a point where they couldn't stay up with the demand.
Yeah.
And they also faced some of the challenges of employee retainment and also getting additional employees in. So as people had issues, whether it was COVID related or otherwise, or family, just dealing with family issues, kids, et cetera, they were dealing with just trying to get people in the door. So again, there's not a magic bullet to that solution, but we've been able to at least provide information. And that's how we see ourselves as a support system in addition to, you know, being an advisor to help them grow.
Yeah, I like it. So last but not least, I'm going to go to Manny. And Manny was probably part of one of those people that was out there buying all those supplies because he is our in-house actually, I think you guys all are pretty handy with stuff. But every time I talk to Manny, I know he's doing something, building something, creating something. So what have you been building or doing or creating in the Southeast over the past couple of months, Manny?
Well, similar to what's been going on with Mike and Ron in their particular regions, the same here. We began with this crazy COVID situation last March, and soon after we pivoted and began assisting many of the manufacturers here through the MERT program. Well, in addition to that, we found here that we were out helping them to find money so they can keep their employees on. Keep them going, also find loans and funds to help them to pivot in some areas and so forth. And then along the way, we quickly realized that there was a need for a pandemic planning and training. And so with our partner, with Safety Trainers, she developed a program that we're now using to assist manufacturers who are in need for having a well thought out plan and program in place that meets all the requirements for OSHA and so forth. And that's becoming a little more popular in this area anyway. In fact, we're in the process of completing one next week, and we've done a few others prior to that. And each of our clients that have gone through it have concluded that it was a wonderful program.
Yeah, it's you know, it's what I hear from all three of you is it's the same no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obviously, you know, we say that we have these territories or these regions or areas, and each of you are in them, you know, west, northeast, and southeast. But we've seen over the past 10 months that we can actually take those barriers down, and we overlap now. You know, we are doing more of this crossover, and we're working together. And, you know, now we're starting to find that we have maybe teams that we put together, and we have subject matter experts that come in that they're from our own team. And so we're really hitting this kind of in a, I call it like more of a military style, you know, we're flanking on both sides and we're coming into the front. So it's really, the way we're seeing this and the objective of where we're headed, it's kind of cool. I know we've seen internally the silver lining in this is this has brought us together so much more as an organization, you know, and we work in these overlapping teams now. We've broken down these silos, and now we're, you know, it's really cool to see where we're headed and the vision that we have moving forward as an organization. And Manny, you hitting on like the pandemic exit plan, that's huge right now, because I think everybody's at a point where we're going, hey, you know what? We need to move forward. We obviously, we're at this point, you know, the vaccines are starting to be released, but if this could ever happen again or would ever happen again, obviously, it's not going to be the same. It never is. And a fun fact is that my youngest daughter the other day was telling me that, did you know that every 100 years we get hit with a pandemic? And I said, you know, I, I didn't think of it that way. I never thought of it that way. So we have, so like 18, 20, 19, 20, 20, 20. So I'm good. I don't think I'll be here for the next one. Thank God. I think we'll I can get out of it, but this exit plan training that we're looking at, and we've started, and we have an information session coming up on it in a couple of weeks at the beginning of February. It really is, it's a combination. We're working with Jim Seropoulos and Darcy Cook from Safety Trainers. They're doing implementation of it. So there'll be a practical side and there'll be an instructional side. And they're gonna tag team and they're gonna show people how to really cater those plans. So I'm gonna assume, you know, all three of you, you probably have people that can look at that and go, that's extremely valuable. It's a value added opportunity for them that before now, who would have thought of it? Mm-hmm. You know, so I bet, I mean, you probably have those people. Are you, is that something that you, like Manny, obviously he's seeing it, but Ron and Mike, are you guys seeing the same thing where a lot of companies are ready to make that move now?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of companies coming back in and asking for assistance from us in Darcy.
Yeah.
What's the safest way to go about this? What do I need? What should I do? What do I tell my employees? I mean, these are all valid questions. Everybody's got a concern. Everybody wants to be safe for their own health and their obviously their employees' health, their family's health, and everybody involved. And right now, I mean, we did an ABCs of safely returning to work during the pandemic. Yeah. And right now we're offering, as Haley said, an exit strategy post-pandemic. What do we do? How do we get back in? How do we avoid this in the future if it crops up again and 3 months and come back and hurts us, hurts everybody, hurts manufacturing, hurts schools, hurts everything.
Yeah.
And that's really what this will cover. This is what will help those clients get a comfort level so that they can bring their employees back in and hopefully understand the safest way to go about doing it.
Yeah. Well, the beauty of the training is that it's not just for this COVID situation. It's for any other issues moving forward. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a long-term benefit to all companies that participate in it. If there's a bright side to anything, people now are much more aware of the fact that they're not feeling well. And rather than just going to work, people are now staying home.
Yeah.
I had a meeting that was scheduled yesterday that I had to postpone and reschedule because the client that I was going to meet wasn't feeling well for the past couple of days. I said, look, just reschedule us, but we're all safe and we don't have to worry about anything. Because, you know, he said, I don't know what I have, something in my stomach, but, you know, let's just reschedule. So if nothing else, we're all much more aware of that. And I think as a result, you notice that the flu or the influenza isn't nearly as strong and impacting as it had been in the past. Because we're all, you know, safely distancing, wearing masks. We're not going into work if we're not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a plus side to all of this, I guess, if we want to look at it that way.
Yeah, I would say similar to what we're doing right now, we're on a Zoom call. So we've all learned to quickly adjust. And again, there's positives from this. The reality is, I think when even things quote unquote get back to normal, you know, you're going to see it'll be a different world in a lot of the companies we deal with, where people will work more remotely that can. You know, in manufacturing, it's always a little more difficult when people literally have to be at a machine making something. You can't totally make that virtual. But I think we'll need to deal differently with companies in a positive way. It also helps maybe speed up some of our communication with them, in that we don't have to physically get in there to make that next step. We can do a lot more virtually, and we can see each other and people get a comfort level with us as well. So that's again, a bright spot when I look at what's come out of this. You know, we talk about the return, you know, the pandemic. And so we had a couple of calls over the last couple of days with clients that have taken some of the pandemic training. And, you know, it's validation that they were successful, because they were, without being asked, they were proud to say, hey, we've only had one COVID case. And in one company, she was extremely proud. They had none, mm-hmm. But they're very diligent about what they learned in the practices they put in place. So it kind of, again, once again, it validates. We picked some of the good trainings to transition to virtual as well. And promote. So and that was so now we all have a heightened awareness of maybe asking some of those questions as we communicate with clients.
Yeah, I agree. And we kind of the hot topics like in what we see coming into the future, Ron, and you saying, you know, returning to this new normal and the safety and, you know, where we're going and spacing and stuff. So we're starting to see this trend now and this transition almost with Industry 4.0 and advanced manufacturing. And that, you know, that's another one of our big areas that we're going to start hitting. We have a webinar coming up next week where we're going to start laying some foundations down, you know, the building blocks as to Industry 4.0. How can it help you? You know, or if you're somebody out there that's kind of like, I have absolutely no idea. I really just don't know if this can help me. You'd be surprised at maybe where you can come from. We did a robotics webinar last week with Access New England and Nathan DeRochers, and the turnout from it was, I was pretty astonished. I was surprised at how many people showed up. Obviously, we're doing everything virtual. We're staying in a virtual world when it comes to events, public events that we do for quite a few more months, but it was amazing to see how many people showed up, and the level of interest was pretty neat. So, you know, I'll kind of put this out for the three of you, because I think all three of you maybe have somebody that are doing this or transitioning into this Industry 4.0 world. Kind of, you know, maybe give us a little sneak peek as to, you know, what they can expect and what's coming out of this, or why maybe some people are doing it, and kind of go from there.
So I'll take a stab at that one. So
thanks, Ron, for stepping up.
Yeah, so with Industry 4.0, there's, depending on the client you're talking to, there are some that are saying, what is this Industry 4.0? So there's this unknown, right?
Yeah.
Then there's ones that may be a little more advanced from a technology standpoint, so they might have a little better understanding. But, you know, it's still safe to say, there's many legs to Industry 4.0. You know, there's robotics, there's machine metrics, you know, but a lot of it centers around building a business strategy, is understanding your business today and where do you want to take it for the future. The one thing that I kind of really gravitate to on Industry 4.0 is most companies are currently running with equipment and personnel, and really understanding where you are today. So it's pulling out information that you might already have that you're not even aware of. Mm-hmm. And that's more around, you know, measuring the machine metrics, is what is your machines and your people telling you today? And really getting a handle on that. Then at that point, you know, better understanding maybe some more advanced robotics that may or may fit into your organization and your type of operation, or something different. But it really starts with understanding your business and understanding the information that is available today that you may not be pulling out of your organization. So that's kind of a thought process for me on Industry 4.0.
So if I can take the next step at it, understanding your business and tying that into Industry 4.0 is really, taking much of what MassMEP has to offer in terms of, you know, lean or continuous improvement, and all of the different programs that we offer that lend well into better understanding and refining and continuously improving your operations. But from there, using robotics, using augmented reality, using video systems, and using visuals in your organization, and having that all tied into computer systems that can update the key people within the organization and advise them as to how their operations are running, whether it's a single shift, two shifts, three shift operation, whether it's 5 days, 7 day week operations, they can have access to immediate information about how their company is running, whether they're in the facility or remote as well. And that's kind of how I take it on this. And I got a couple of clients who are looking into robotics and are looking into augmented reality for training purposes. And they're looking at it as, I want to learn to walk before I run, you know? Particularly when you start looking into robotics, some of the first questions that come up is, how much is this going to cost me? You know, what's my return on my investment, you know, and so forth. So those are the things that, you know, that need to be shared with them, information that's provided to them so that they can better understand the entire industry 4.0 process and how Mass MEP can help them, how we can get them connected with the right folks for robotics, for augmented reality, for computer systems, ERP systems, to tie all of this together so that they can have a system that works for them, but also something that gives them the ability to make the right decisions, knowing that if they invested, whether it's a small portion or a large portion, their investment, what that return on that investment might be in time and cost.
And I guess the interesting thing to me about Industry 4.0 is what its capabilities are. I mean, there are some companies that are floating into robotics, and they're not doing that to replace the employees. They're doing it to assist the employees. You know, robots, cobots, whatever you want to call them, can assist. I mean, they can help improve your quality. They can help improve your throughput. For those companies that are having a difficult time finding employees for second and third shift, those robots can really assist. For companies, I worked in a company, we had a lot of old manufacturing equipment, big heavy duty lathes and grinders, honestly back from World War II. For those companies like that, there's additive manufacturing, which is 3D printing in metals. You could 3D print your part for that machine that may break and get it in your machine from design concept to finished product in under a week. If you were to buy that same part from somebody, you might be looking at 10 or 12 weeks, you know, just to get it going. Your company can't afford to be down for that long. No. And the other thing about Industry 4.0 is you don't have to be technologically advanced. Companies with a simple ERP system that have some data, companies that have spreadsheets, if they're going back to really tracking old time, what it does is it helps you evaluate that data to determine how to use it to improve yourself in the future. It doesn't have to be computer driven or IT driven. And that's one thing that, you know, a lot of small companies, the manual companies that, you know, I can't afford these big data collection systems. I can't afford people to do that. It's just a matter of evaluating what you have and determine how you use it to improve yourself in the future.
Yeah. And so in our role in all of this is, you know, we are that connection point to try to help them, right? So that they know and understand, just like what Mike's saying, we want to take the unknown or the fear out of it to give you an idea and to show you this is what is out there. This is what is available to you. And we have some options that are, you know, coming up if it's a consortium to get them in, to get the training and learning of to how to use and integrate. And if this will be a successful part of your operation and how it runs, that's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. And we're just starting, we're on the same path. We're starting to get into this. We're starting to figure it out, but this is something that's not going away. It's definitely going to start really taking over. And, you know, it kind of all ties together. We talk about the safety, and, you know, we talked about if somebody was ill and then they can't show up. And if you have the robotics, then they could do it, but the robots or the cobots, they can do the work if somebody is out ill. And then in the case of, you know, if it moving forward and just being able to have this opportunity available to you, where if it's helping with production or taking an employee and putting them in a more useful position where they can excel maybe in another area, because running these machines, they don't run on their own. Somebody has to know how to run them and make them work, you know, and we learned that in our cobots last week. So It isn't something that you just stick out there and you just press go and that's the end of it. There's somebody has to put that process together. So it does, you're not losing employees. You're actually sustaining, retaining those employees and sometimes helping them grow. So that,
You're absolutely right. And when I was running a company, one of the things that we did is in rewinding operation, we went from having them all done with one operator running 6N winding machines to having several operators running, actually changing their role and operating a automated winding machine system, which was multiple ends, many, many ends. But rather than have them running 6Ns and they were running these multiple ends, but they were really loading on product, they were loading on tube, they were loading on what was being rewound. And actually the productivity was far greater than anything that we could have imagined doing it the old fashioned way. And you're absolutely right. It's human nature to think that, oh man, they're going to automate this. That means I'm not going to have my job any longer. And it was my job to go in and assure them that first, we're not looking to put you out of work. We're actually looking to produce more and have and do it smart. So this way, we're not working as hard, working smarter. And ultimately, it ended up being that way. And it was a tremendous effort, even though many of the operators were very nervous when they watched those machines come in. And then once they realized that, wow, not kidding, they really do help us grow. And my job's solid here, and we're putting out more product now than we ever had. Mm-hmm. It's just getting over those fears, getting over the hurdles. But in the end, whether it's robots, cobots, or any form of automation, it's always helpful. And it's not only helpful in terms of productivity, but also in terms of repetitive motion. Many companies I had to deal with all the time, when they're doing these repetitive motion type jobs, it can take a toll on their bodies over the years. So you minimize that impact as well.
Yeah, that's definitely the innovative growth that we, that's a big component of who we are at Mass MEP. And I think this kind of also segues into, another big hot topic that we talk about is cybersecurity and the CMMC. So we talk about the security and the safety. And, I think, Mike, you may have touched on this a little bit too about, and Ron, you both did with like the data and how that's all taken care of. But with cybersecurity and CMMC, obviously in the past couple of weeks, we've seen there's been a letter that's gone out, we've talked about it on our podcast. We've also done, a webinar on it as well with CyberSaint and these companies that if they want to they want to work with the DOD or have DOD projects, if they want to be able to bid on them, they do have to become CMMC. So that's the Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification. And there are steps and there are processes, and that's another thing that we're heading in that era. And if anything has shown us, this time has shown us that, because of, we went through how Zoom at times they were hacked and people were jumping on videos and, people were getting Zoom bombed. And now it's simple things like that, but as a company, and you're running an organization, you have to be able to make sure that all of your controls, they're locked down. And people are like, controls, what's a control? Controls can be anything as simple as a password for a computer. If a computer's left open and it's not locked down and somebody can access that, well, that your password control for that computer, it's not on. So that's considered a control. The back door, is it locked? That's a control. So as we're moving into that as well in cybersecurity and CMMC, I love this. I'm getting a lot of plugs in today. This is fantastic. But I'm going to plug. We have another webinar that we're gonna do with CyberSaint, Derek Bauer, and we're doing it on Groundhog Day, because this really is kind of Groundhog Day. We kind of are going through the same process, right, over and over again with CMMC. We're getting there. It's taken 4 years to where we are today with it. But I know that, again, you guys have all, each of you probably have somebody that's tapped into this, what got them to this point, why are they doing it? And, is this the benefit of this and getting involved in it? May, why don't you start?
So I've had a few clients that have gone through it. Some have gone through the NIST 800-171 avenue, and others have gone through ISO 27001.
Yeah.
And it really, it depends on the long-term need and objectives. But the reality is regardless of what size company you are, you stand a chance of getting hacked. I ran this company, it was 55 employees, and there was an attempt to hack our system to get banking information for and try to tap into getting some payments that were being made on, in fact, on these automated machines that I was talking about, and it got intercepted, thankfully. But there are many companies that we read about every day now that are getting hacked. They're small, medium, large companies, it doesn't matter who. And the reality is if you don't go through this CMMC or ISO 27001 avenue and actually really take a good hard look at where you are currently, what your risk level is, and how to identify all of the key areas that you need to look at to protect yourself and your company. If you think, I think I'm okay, and most of us live in the world that it's never happened, it won't happen to us. Mm-hmm. Trust me, it may happen. It can happen to almost anyone. And it's the weirdest thing is that when they go through this entire process, we have some companies who are, pretty standard manufacturing companies, and others that have a lot more technology. Regardless of what type of company they are, they all have many issues to be dealt with. And when you go through CMMC training or the ISO 27001 certification process, it'll open up all of those areas and help you to become a solid, stronger, better company and be much more protected against any possible risks in the future.
As Manny said, it's not just DoD related. For those companies that are working in the DoD world, I mean, the larger companies are now demanding that you need to have a CMMC, probably level 3 certification on it. We can help you with an assessment on that and make sure that you're safe and sound and can continue with those DoD contracts or your DoD supplier contracts, if you will. But we've had two companies in the West region. One of them fairly small, they got attacked with ransomware. They were fortunate. They had a complete backup. They, again, being small, they took their server offline. They had a backup that they could install, and they were back up and running in a matter of a couple of weeks. They decided to take the ISO 27001 approach, which ties right into their ISO program, so it can be audited at the same time, and they solved their problem. Another company, larger company, multi-divisional company nationwide located in the West, they were also hacked with ransomware. It took that company out, including all of their production documents, all of their abilities to run their CNC equipment was on there. It took out their phone lines, it took out their computers, it took everything out. And they didn't get back up and running for about 6 weeks later. And that was on a nationwide level. So for those companies that think they're safe, they had a fantastic IT department that swore to their CEO, "We will never be hacked." Guess what? It can happen.
And I heard that.
we're there to help you. I mean, we don't do it ourselves, but we have experts that can assist you through that. We're glad to connect you with them.
And the cost is extremely small. If they went through an express program, as opposed to going through a general grant where the cost could be fully covered. But the reality is that when you look at whether you're down for 1 day, 2 days, 2 weeks, or a month, that's an enormous amount of money that you're losing because you're not operating. And so, the pennies that it costs to have this training done and to minimize all of those impacts is something that folks should look into. It's available and it's very inexpensive to do. And it'll give you the protection that you need moving forward.
It's hard to make a decision as a manufacturer. I mean, ransomware, that the hackers they're not kind. I mean, they look for millions of dollars. I mean, for companies that are big, like the second one that I talked about, they were looking for millions of dollars. Without giving an exact number, it was huge. And it may have been worth it to them just to pay that, but I mean, the government will tell you don't do it because, number one, you don't know if they're going to come back at you and do the same thing and demand more money, which they can. But more so, I mean, do we really want to support the terrorists? Do we want to support those hackers? It just contributes to their funding, and we just don't want to go down that path. It's a scary thought, but people need to do it. I mean, and I'm not just saying this on a company-wide level, but individuals, make sure that you're safe. I mean, your personal data is, it'll hurt you if somebody hacks into it and gets it.
And the scary part is they can do this from outside of your building. They can be remote somewhere far away, and in many cases, they can be right across the street, and they access it through their phone and get into your system and wreak havoc. So, you know, and there's no one that's really, you know, protected from it unless you do all the right thing. So you're
right.
Open to a lot of these issues.
Yeah.
The good thing about technology is it really has advanced us in a lot of ways, but it also creates a lot of vulnerabilities. Yeah. And so I don't know about you, but probably in the past year, I've gotten those letters from these companies that might have my information. And they said, you know, your information might have been exposed because they were hacked. So as Mike said, and I think it was a good segue into it, is it happens in every industry. So don't think, you know, just because I'm not doing business with the DOD, you're less likely to be hacked. It can happen to anyone. So what, for me, the cybersecurity is similar to Industry 4.0, is not fully understanding, man, what is this thing? What do I need to do? Do I need to do it? So what's been nice is we do have, you know, a provider that does the training and this assessment, this gap assessment. And I've got a couple of companies that said, yep, DOD, I got to get this in. I got the letter from Raytheon. So they're good. And we supported them with a grant, as Manny said. And then there's others that weren't sure, but what was nice is we had that conversation with them. We brought our provider in. We had, you know, a three-way call. And so they could better understand it. They said, you know I need to do this. I'm not ready yet. And we said, good. When you're ready, and, you know, so we'll do follow-ups. That's Manny and Mike, and my job is to make sure we're staying in contact. And lo and behold, they're ready. But I would say it's every day, as you pick up the paper or you check the internet, there's another hack that's happened. So it's a real situation that we can assist with as well.
Yeah, and it's not going to go away.
No, and obviously we know that with us talking about more about the Industry 4.0 and where that's headed. And I think it's going to become, you know, at a point it will become more of, I wouldn't say it's mandatory, but, you know, it's one of those things that if you don't do it, it's going to get, I think maybe that window will get narrower and narrower for those that don't have it. You know, once they start to implement and put in a lot of this Industry 4.0, they're going to see that there is absolutely a necessity to it, because you're right, Ron, you are opening up, you know, you are becoming very vulnerable when you use the advancement of technology. So being able to find a way to have cybersecurity, then it will help protect you and shield, you know, the content and you know, the return on your investment. And that's what everybody does. So I would think
there's the cost of doing it versus the potential cost of not doing it.
Exactly.
And as Manny said and Mike said, you know, you're down for one day in a manufacturing organization, you know,
that's
that it pays for itself in 3 hours, depending on the size of your organization.
Exactly.
So yeah. it's the risk reward.
Yeah, I love it. That's great. So I think we've really hit, and I think if anybody listening, really the message is, obviously, like we said earlier, you know, we may be in, say that we're from different regions or territories, but it's really the state. You know, we really are here to provide, we're here to be a trusted advisor to manufacturers that are in the state. And we have these those three things that we talked about. They're not the only three things that we do. You know, we do innovative growth. We do continuous improvement. We have a lot we work with. We even work when it comes to like manufacturing. We have a manufacturing career link, and we hit into, you know, MACWIC credentialing. We try to hit from every aspect, like I said, it's almost like a military approach. We're flanking from all sides the best way that we can to help with things, you know, if it's a manufacturer that needs cybersecurity, or there's another manufacturer that needs help with their workforce. And we want skilled, you know, we want a skilled workforce, or we're trying to bridge the age gap in what's happening in the workforce today. So where are they coming from? We do that all over, all across the state. And as Manny hit on too, and he, you know, the funding, you know, we can get you hooked up and get you connected to the right type of funding. And if we have small companies that are under 100 employees, there's a program for them. You know, there's a program for companies under 500 employees. So we, you know, we can, an express grant, there's a general grant. Like we try to get every solution for you that we possibly can. And I think, you know, like Mike said earlier, facilitating solutions. So that's what we do. We facilitate solutions, whether it's maybe we provide you with a training or however it is. So I'm just glad that I could have the three of you on and kind of give me, you know, it's nice to know that we're all not so different after all, and that we go through the same pain points, you know, really across, whether you're in Western Mass, you're in the Southeast, or you're in the Northeast. And it's almost like your pictures that are behind you on your Zoom, because we're Zooming as well, like everybody else is out there when we do these podcast. But Manny's got, looks like, is that Southeast Asia, or
that is Kyoto, Japan?
Okay.
The Golden Temple. It's a beautiful area. There you go. Yes.
Ron is on the beach. He's playing Survivor today. And Mike is actually full representation, living, breathing the brand of Mass MEP behind him. Couldn't make me more proud, Mike.
So Haley, I do want to touch on one last thing before we wrap up too. So it goes back to what an additional thing we've been working on, you know, over the past 10 months is, you know, we've got a number of PMs, you know, all industry experts, as you had mentioned, varied industries, lots of experience. There was a team that was working on pulling together an assessment tool that we can go in to a company as part of our offerings. And again, instead of just trying to sell something and jumping into something that might not be proper, is really understanding your business. Mm-hmm. And so it's an assessment tool that looks at a lot of different areas, from leadership to employee engagement to quality to lean practices. And so it's helped us, number one, educate companies on what we do, but also it gives us an opportunity to use our industry experience. And we may bring in a couple of different PMs from different industries, in industries that it might be the company that they're in, and be able to at least start their conversation about, here's what we observe. What do you guys think? It's a collaborative effort between the company and Mass MEP. So that's a good tool that was developed by some of our PMs, and it's in practice now, and we've been using it, and it seems to be helpful. So I would throw that out as.
So if I can tag team from that, Ron, the tool that you mentioned is fabulous. It allows us to pretty much customize a training package or program for the client, so that we're basically hitting all of the areas that they need, rather than just kind of, as you said, just blanket throwing things at them. It actually is focused on the you know, where they currently are and identifying what their future state might look like. And then we plan how to get them to that future state with the high valued and highly experienced project managers that we have. And if I may, because I like to play around with numbers once in a while, I went and did the math in terms of the years of experience that we have just with the 15 project managers that we have in the state of Massachusetts. The combined total number of years, are you ready for this? Over 540 years of experience. Wow. In manufacturing. And each and every one of the project managers and us as well, we've all been in middle to C-level positions. Yep. So we have a great deal of wealth of knowledge, a great deal of experience in dealing with a wide variety of issues when it comes to manufacturing. In fact, the past 2 days, I've been doing my advisory type role quite often. I've had one company who was looking for some legal advice and asking me with some of my experience on how to dealing with an issue that she's dealing with, and a legal issue. And another one looking for some business advice and trying to get grants and funds. And so, you know, every day is a different day, and it's lots of fun. But the reality is we have a wealth of experience to be able to help any one of the companies here in Massachusetts. It's just a matter of reaching out, contacting us, and then let us get together and chat with you a bit and see how we might be able to help.
Yeah, I agree.
To piggyback on Ron's comment on the Lean Enterprise Assessment Tool, it's a fantastic tool that will help us see where we can help you. One of the nicest things about it is we offer it free of charge.
Yeah.
This is a service that we want to get together with you and, you know, help you evaluate your business from top to bottom and see where we can help, see what you need. You know, and then we'll help you put together a training program, assist you with grant funding, and build your success from there.
Yeah, that's perfect. Perfect way to put that in a nice little package, Mike. It was spot on. Obviously behind the scenes, as we're working with this lean assessment tool, we're finding ways to develop it. We obviously, you know, we're all about continuous improvement. So how could we not do that ourselves and then go out and help people do it as well? So we're doing the same thing, you know, and as the trusted advisors across the state of Massachusetts, it is definitely one of the most powerful tools that we can have, that we have in our toolbox in going out. And it does allow us a way to, just like you said, we're sitting, we're listening, we're learning about you as a manufacturer and what your needs are, what your pain points are, and how maybe we can help. And we just, again, we like to advise our advisors. So that's what we're doing with this tool. It's the way to do that. So thank you guys. Thank you so much for being on here with me today. I appreciate it. At least I gave you notice this time, Mike. You didn't just get pulled in.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ron.
Always my pleasure to join you.
Yeah. Thanks, Ron, for joining me on an actual recorded episode this time.
Thank you.
Yeah, the past couple of days, we've been doing a lot of work together, Ron and I have been, but they've been non-recording because of what we've been doing. We weren't allowed to. So thanks for joining me. And Manny, same to you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. So thank you, everybody, for listening to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. You can subscribe to our channel on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And we will see you next time, if it's in our space, your space, or cyberspace.
Thank you so much for listening to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. To listen to more of MassMEP's podcasts or for more information on how MassMEP, your resource for manufacturing greatness, can help you, please visit massmep.org.